thanks for listening and for being a part of Jason Q's Citizen and Friends on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. Goodness me, what a time it is to be alive. Say it all the time, and what a time it is to be alive. For those of us watching the play-by-play, the blow-by-blow as it stands, you could have thought that everything that happened today could have happened 6 years ago, or at least a matter of years ago. I mean, there's Joe Biden denying he had anything to do with his son's business, and lo and behold, he knew all about it, like everyone who had a brain also knew. He was all over it. That's come out, as we've just heard in the news, in a recording of Hunter's phone. So if we hear it now, you can bet the investigators, the so-called FBI, would also have this information. Now, for many of us, when we got started in this business of working out that the system really stinks, the first thing that came up was the idea of human trafficking. It blew all the researchers out of the water. We never knew that this could actually be a thing. Yesterday, we learned that 46 people were found dead inside a truck, and Joe Biden came out and said we need to do a whole lot more about human trafficking. Yes, Joe. Just like what happened in Haiti. Now, today, we learn that Ghislaine Maxwell, girlfriend and right-hand woman to Jeffrey Epstein, the world's most notorious pedophile who only ever served a very light sentence in a plea bargain, well, Ghislaine Maxwell got 20 years today in jail for helping Epstein sexually abuse teenage girls. This is a massive story. She was up for 55 years and only got 20, though her lawyers tried to get her as little as 4 years. Today, we learn immediately after that her life has been threatened in jail. Well, that comes as par for the course, doesn't it? If you're an abuser of young teenage girls, it would stand to reason. However, we also learn that, at least here in Australia, that those that commit crimes against children are segregated in our prisons in this country, almost as if they get a free ride, although I don't think that would be necessarily the right way to put it, but they're certainly protected within the protection there. So Maxwell gets 20 years in prison. The British socialite was convicted in December. It's an awfully long time to wait to get a sentence for recruiting and grooming four girls to have sexual encounters with Epstein between 1994 and 2004. There was, of course, a lot more than all of this coming out today, and one victim, Sarah Ransome, said that she was just 10 years of age. We also learn that there are indeed many more victims coming out now, and this obviously will bring up even more interest in the media and perhaps for those in the Department of Justice who may or may not go after Maxwell again. Of course, it reminds us all of that movie, The Untouchables, and the great gangster who got sentenced for tax evasion rather than in the great Elliot Ness story with Al Capone. So one wonders if they've got Maxwell for 20 years and that puts that to rest, and they don't need to worry about it a bit more. But Maxwell directly and repeatedly over the course of many years participated in an horrific scheme to entice, transport and traffic underage girls. And the article says as young as 14 for sexual abuse by and with Epstein. The trial was a month long and was widely seen as the reckoning that Epstein, who apparently killed himself apparently in a Manhattan jail cell in 2019, while awaiting his own sex trafficking trial, who he never had. So we look at this, it's a very, very big deal. And of course, it's only really scratching the surface. And the big story behind it all is that who were these women actually being procured for, and why has nothing become of that? That would seemingly be the bigger crime. Now, in other news, and this is more sad news, but it's not over yet, for one of our superstars in the freedom movement, and I say that because he's a doctor, Dr. Zev Zelenko, it has been reported today is in a critical condition and has been transferred to intensive care. He was the doctor who gained national attention for developing the Zelenko protocol, a drug protocol he gave to COVID-19 patients, which included zinc, it included vitamin D, and it included hydroxychloroquine, or if you couldn't get it, it was quercetin. And that was what he called that triple cocktail. And then if you got diagnosed, and what he would say to people in the meeting where he had them in consult, he would ask them if they'd lost their sense of smell or taste. And he said, well, you're going to test positive for COVID, so I'm immediately going to put you on this protocol, and I'm going to put you on the azithromycin antibiotic at the same time. His success rate was 2,997 out of 3,000. I find this absolutely fantastic. And when asked about the three deaths, he said one was already terminal, one had cancer. And he said the third person, we don't know, we just lost him, unfortunately. A year later, Dr. Zelenko was asked about long COVID, because this was the thing that was telling everyone that COVID was so dangerous because it was this long COVID scenario. So they said, Dr. Zelenko, how did you go with long COVID? How many patients suffered? He said zero. That was more telling than anything, because clearly this was because people were not given any form of treatment. They were just told to go home and sit in a room for 2 weeks with or without the vaccine, because this was obviously pre the vaccine. Although we learned today, of course, that long COVID is still here vaccinated as well. But clearly this was another way of addressing it, with vitamin supplementation and with hydroxychloroquine or quercetin, or in some cases, ivermectin. Now, Dr. Zelenko has been battling a serious case of progressive cancer for some time. He announced that a tumour had been found on his heart's upper right ventricle, with a blood clot sitting above the tumour. He now says it spread to his lungs and also into his spine, and then into his hip. So he's really, really struggling, Dr. Zelenko. He's only a young man. He's not even 50, is my understanding. He's a father of 8 children, and our thoughts, prayers, and wishes, best wishes for a miracle in his case, an absolute champion. Now, I'm going to introduce you to Catherine Franklin in a moment. We're going to talk about a whole lot of issues in Australia. I'm going to throw in a whole lot more news that's come out during the day, but I can't start the show without going to the real science from the New Scientist today that tells us that solar storms may cause up to 5,500 heart-related deaths in a given year. Can you believe that? Follow the science with a dollar sign. Thank you very much. But in the meantime, don't go anywhere. You're listening to TNT Radio.
Dismantling the woke.
It's a woke society, and I am fed up with it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the program. This is Jason Q, Citizen and Friends, and I'm delighted that Catherine Franklin can take a moment out of her day to join us here to talk about the news and the crazy world that we're in. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. How are you doing, Jason?
Oh, look, I'm all the better for hearing your voice, and I'm sitting here scratching my head all day wondering when all this comes together. But I tell you what, I'm reassured now that solar storms may be the cause for all those heart-related deaths in any given year.
Oh, solar storms, climate change, Trump had something to do with it. There's so many reasons.
Yes, apparently so. Well, This is how it works now, and it certainly could not be to do with anything with a compulsory medication that people were given that's never been used on human beings before, so we won't bother to look at that one. And there is
definitely
so much...
Definitely not the experimental mRNA vaccine, definitely not that. Everything else but that.
Well, that would be the case. And right now we're just learning that Dr. McCullough in the US has just put out an article, why Big Pharma is desperate to get COVID jab into babies. And this is just absolutely shocking. But the idea being behind it is that it's not because they need it, because the rate of hospitalization amongst children 5 to 11 is less than 0.0008. percent.
Well, that's incredible that Carl Stefanovic's daughter was one of them. Isn't that a coincidence?
It's a very small world, isn't it? And it's quite concerning that it happens a lot to people who have got a high profile or related to someone with a high profile.
And they're so willing to talk about it and take photos of it. And, you know, I mean, honestly, if you can't see the agenda, I can't help you.
It is very, very frustrating. What we're learning, of course, is that what they need to do is to get every age group to take this vaccine, and therefore they can move it into a standard protocol. And once it becomes a standard protocol that every child is supposed to be given this vaccine as part of their ongoing life, then all liability or indemnity at that point to the vaccine companies can go away, unless fraud is found.
It also makes it easier to blame on COVID too, doesn't it? Whatever variant there is
That's it.
The flavour of the day.
Exactly right. And we've got an article coming out today out of New York where the top doc is telling us that there is a new COVID-19 wave starting, a worse version of Omicron. The BA5 subvariant, which also emerged with the original Omicron out of South Africa, is considered by some experts to be the worst version. Can you believe that? Dr. Jay Varma.
Yeah. You wouldn't read about it, would you?
Well, you've only got to wait 5 minutes and someone...
I have to laugh now because it's getting that bad. But, you know, props to us, the awake people that are literally watching, you know, genocide. You know, this has been 2.5, almost 3 years of mind-numbing psychological, you know, trauma for people who are awake to it. And props to us for not going completely insane.
Well, I think so, because if you just pick up what you're seeing on the news, and I mean, Channel 7 was the first out of the blocks yesterday where they said a worrying number of babies born during the pandemic are ending up in hospital in intensive care. Doctors say infants haven't developed immunity to respiratory viruses and are testing positive for both the flu and COVID at the same time. So the kids' hospital at Westmead in Western Sydney reports 5% of babies with co-infections are being admitted to ICU, with paediatricians describing that as very concerning. Now, the interesting part of this is that 95% of expectant mums, probably closer to 99%, guess what? Double jabbed.
Wouldn't you know it?
Wouldn't
just a coincidence,
you know it?
Though.
Well, it may well be that the solar storms are getting close to Western Sydney. It's normally a bit hotter out there, right?
Yeah, I would say that's definitely got something to do with it, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, you have to keep a sense of humour, don't you? Because it's so bad that you almost want to cry at every little story that you read, because everyone's suffering and these poor little innocent children that are born into this, and poor mum who only does what she believes is best. And I'll tell you what, Catherine, as a mum yourself, when you've got your firstborn, you know it's different to when you have subsequent children, but for those first-time mums, it must be absolute hell on earth for them at the moment.
No, I can't even imagine, you know, and some days I'm very glad to be awake, and other days I think it would be nice not to be, but in that respect I think that, you know, I think, is it better to know? I guess if you know that you wouldn't be giving birth in a hospital at all, would you?
No, that's very true. And I have spoken to many mums over the last couple of years who've been looking for alternatives and have successfully done that and avoided the hospital at all costs. But it's
I
not
know
a way
a lot
that
of people that are avoiding hospitals at all costs, whether they're new parents or, you know, basically I would have to be bleeding out of my eyeballs or have a limb part missing to go to see any medical practitioner. Faith and trust that I've had in the medical profession, if it wasn't gone prior, it's certainly non-existent now. I don't trust them as far as I could throw them.
I know. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think to the last time that I went to the doctor, it's got to be 18 months ago. And there's just, you've just got to find new ways to do these things. It's the same reason. I just do not have faith in the medical profession. I had to fire my last doctor when she decided that she was serving the community before she was serving me. I specifically asked her for an exemption for a mask. She wouldn't provide it. I asked her for some prophylactic ivermectin, which was available at the time from Greg Hunt, had put out a letter saying you could do it. She denied it. And I said, well, what's the point of this? She said, well, you could give someone an infection. And I go, well, how's that my problem? How's that your problem? You're my doctor. But apparently that's not how it works anymore in the medical profession. And I had no choice but to say she couldn't be my doctor anymore. And that was it. I haven't been back.
And we thought in, you know, Nazi Germany that the line, I was only doing my job, but we always only, you know, applied it, I guess, as you know, toward the prison guards. But we realise now that everybody has a part to play to, you know, in enabling this atrocity, this genocide, because you can't call it anything else.
You simply can't call it anything else. I agree with you. And that's the one thing, this whole idea that it's just a job. And I thought that, I grew up being talked and trained basically that what happened in the Holocaust could never happen again. Goodness me, 1993, I think it was, Steven Spielberg made the film Schindler's List, donated all of the profits from that film into an organization called the Survivors of the Shoah so that he could record interviews with every last remaining Holocaust survivor so that this would become somewhere where it could never possibly happen again, and yet you change the heading of the story, and all of a sudden this thing's never been heard before, and everyone just goes back to how it's always been. I still can't believe that we are in this situation.
Although they used a lot of the same terminology, didn't they? I mean, frontline workers, essential workers, you know, social distancing, all of that terminology was utilised back then. That should have been a red flag for us.
But that's the thing, isn't it? Like, we just have such short memories on so many different topics that, and I think an easy way of testing this out is just ask your children the last prime minister or president that they can remember before the current one, and most won't even know the last one. People just don't have a memory for anything, and now they know that in authority that people don't remember, so we'll say something and then 6 months later we'll forget it. It's like what's happening in Victoria right now, where Daniel Andrews is heading towards this election in November, and all of a sudden all the COVID restrictions are just starting to evaporate because he's worked it out that give them 5 or 6 months, they'll forget, and everything will be back to hunky-dory by November. He'll get back into office, even with 12 of his ministers walking out.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's absolutely mind-boggling. Yeah, for your own good, should have, you know, rung some bells with, you know, it's always hung on the health, you know, the fear factor, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep, it certainly is. Now, I think a really good, interesting point now is that because the freedom movement has been working so hard over the last couple of years trying to get the truth out there and being beaten up at every corner whenever there was a protest in the beginning, some horrific results and people getting arrested in their homes for a Facebook post. Goodness me, how ridiculous it was. But we learned to...
Women.
You remember, right? It was just... I mean, and of course, we don't forget that, but maybe the other people do. But now we learn today that the Blockade Australia climate activists have taken a break and they're regrouping following police dominance in the Sydney CBD. I find this astonishing. Clearly, these guys don't know, A, how to protest, and B, they don't really have the wherewithal to be able to just get their message out there. It feels to me, or it seems to me, that this is another case of lefty entitlement. How dare the police arrest us? We're out there protesting for the climate.
Yeah, well, it's like the Black Lives Matter. It's probably the same, you know, people that are being hired to go in there and pretend to be up in arms. It's all about the bread and circuses, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about why is nobody noticing, and you know, now we understand the part the media plays, not only in delivering the psychological programming that works a treat, clearly, but also in the distraction within the headlines. And as you and I both know, after working in the media myself with Australia's largest newspaper as a news reporter, we're not allowed to touch the headlines. The headlines there are very much part of the psychological programming, and, you know, all the world's a stage, as they say.
All the world is a stage, and nothing could be further or closer to the truth than what we're seeing. Everything is a performance, isn't it? Everything is structured,
yeah.
Every press conference, every article, everything is a manoeuvre. And for anyone following, you know, the whole Trump business and the wake up calls and the daily media and the Q posts and everything else, it was all saying the same thing, but putting it out there saying all the world is a stage, even though we already knew that. And this is where we're going now: optics, and yet more optics. It's like we can't do anything unless perception becomes reality. That's just the way that we work today, isn't it?
Well, that's the plan. I mean, if you look into, I guess, you know, from a deep level of this agenda, it all boils down to psychological programming, you know, all of it. If you can control the mind, you control the masses. You're creating their reality for them, you know, and hence, again, the entertainment industry being so pivotal in, you know, rolling out these potential outcomes of timelines and whichever one works the best. But the themes are all the same. If you look at all the latest Spider-Man movies and Venom and even V for Vendetta and 1984, I mean, it's all there. Hunger Games, Shall I Go On, Handmaid's Tale, it's all there. I mean, the finer details aren't confirmed, but it's laid out because that's part of their rules of the game. They have to tell you what they're doing to avoid that karma. But, you know, if you really look at what's on Netflix and the movies and, you know, the entertainment industry and why these actors get paid so much to deliver this, it's extremely important as the sum of all things in the control matrix that we're all caught in.
Indeed we are, and you make mention of some of those TV shows or movies, and now they're all becoming documentaries. It's just
yeah, the Matrix
astonishing,
one, like this, you know, huge,
isn't it? 1984, Hunger Games, all of them are, and then there was that Japanese one that turned up on Netflix recently, which was like another version of this, the same thing, and this is what we're up against. And what I'm finding, though, is it's becoming...
I love that one, by the way. I thought that one, I can't remember the name of it either, but I actually, I'm going to hell in a handbasket, but I quite enjoyed it as much.
Isn't that funny?
Because living daylight's out of me.
I was just thinking that it was no longer entertainment but documentary, but there you go. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. Now, what we're going to do is take a quick break, and what I want to do is I want to come back and talk about something that's affecting many people, and that is in this new housing crisis that's emerging. It's emerging very, very rapidly, and it's not just affecting homeowners but also for renters, and therefore something must be going on with the landlords out there as well. But I think this is a huge topic. It's rearing its ugly head here in Australia and New Zealand, and there's a lot we need to do. So in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Joseph Arthur.
The Chicago Police Department has unveiled a new policy prohibiting its officers from chasing people on foot simply because they run away. Hey, wait a minute. I thought that was the whole idea. Or because they have committed minor offenses. The policy, which was introduced Tuesday, also encourages cops to consider alternatives. Like what? Throwing a frisbee at them? To pursuing someone who is visibly armed with a firearm. Okay. Under the policy, officers may give chase if they believe a person. I like that. Give chase. Hey, would you give me chase? I'm running. I'm taking off. If they believe a person is committing or is about to commit a felony, the long-awaited foot chase ban is expected to go into effect by the end of the summer after the city's 11,900 uniformed cops receive training. They need to receive training for that? Just don't run. That's it. It's the easiest thing in the world. Just stand there. Oh, I'm trained.
Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A lot of people may not agree with us right now, but there may come a time when they actually have an issue that affects them, that they don't have the freedom to choose. And if we don't preserve it, we won't have it.
Get to see this for yourself.
We begin this new week with an extraordinary moment in our history. 18 days into this truck convoy, and the federal government invoked a security measure that goes beyond anything seen in this country in the last 50 years.
Banks will be told to freeze the accounts of anyone helping finance the protests. And the owners of vehicles jamming streets will be directly targeted.
Trucking for Freedom, Chapter 1, How We Got Here. Visit truckingforfreedom.com.
Show me the studies.
Today's News Talk Radio.
True study. This is safe for adults, much less kids.
TNT Radio. Live.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program here on TNT Radio. Just like to mention and pay respects briefly to more people who have lost their lives suddenly this week. In fact, today we learned that the arts community in Central Victoria is in mourning after the death of David Lloyd, who died suddenly last week at his home in Angus Valley in South Australia. He was just 54 years of age. He left Bendigo last year after 16 years as the manager of the city's council's Bendigo venues and events. 54 years of age, died suddenly. And no mention of the cause of death. Doesn't take too much to work out what's going on there. Rising Canadian star Nick Nemiroff has also died suddenly, aged just 32 years of age. He was nominated for a Juno Award, Canada's version of the Grammy, for his comedy album, The Pursuit of Comedy Has Ruined My Life. It's very, very disappointing. And then also we learn that Travis Barker, Blink 182 drummer, was rushed to hospital on Tuesday for an undisclosed health issue. He was in an ambulance, no less, and his new wife, Kourtney Kardashian, followed behind the stretcher wearing all black with the hood of her sweatshirt pulled up over her head. And I did mention this briefly yesterday, but a young Malaysian athlete, Stephanie Sim Shoo Ming, had passed away just 19 years of age. I find this distressing that every day we have to report this. We don't want to, but when you have sudden deaths from heart attacks and strokes and non-disclosed methods, which are going down as SADs, one must put this news together and we must get this information out there. Catherine, is it distressing to you as much as it is here that we're hearing this every day and these people are not nearly getting close to life expectancy?
Well, we expected it, didn't we? I don't think it's not coming as a shock to me anyway. Again, it is an experimental, technology. Nobody knows what the outcome would be. And as you're aware, Greg Hunt, our health minister, did say on national television, this is the biggest experiment that we've ever seen worldwide that you're partaking in for a virus with a 99.8% recovery rate. Nobody really was at risk unless you're over 80 with one foot in the grave and the other on a banana skin. So I'm not quite sure what the outcome everybody expected was. It's an experiment. It was only provisionally approved. And I think that we better brace ourselves for seeing more illness and deaths on an unprecedented scale in our lifetime.
Well, certainly, yes. I mean, when you look at the numbers, 20% in Australia, according to the ABS, increase in deaths on average per year this year, you feel like we're only scratching the surface. We've only just started on all of this. And all those warnings that we heard from the great doctors who are on this side of the fence who are saying that life expectancy has been greatly reduced. And I almost don't even want to talk about now the numbers that they gave because it is so distressing for all new listeners coming aboard. But it's something that people obviously need to do some more research on. And the interesting part is that these will be the same doctors who are coming up with new ways to manage or to at least provide some better forms of heart health rather than just digging your head into the sand and expecting it just to go away because you trust the system, you trust the medicine. It's just not how you do it anymore, right?
No, no. Well, they've created a heck of a lot of customers, haven't they, the big pharma companies, and we saw that very early on in the pandemic when a number of, again, people that were prominent, news reporters and celebrities that, you know, and even more recently with Justin Bieber and his wife, and, you know, yes, I've got myocarditis, yes, I've had a stroke, but, you know, I'm so lucky because there's a pill for that.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Social conditioning, and people are accepting it or they're ignoring it. The number of people that just don't, you know, again, bread and circuses, they're too busy watching Love Island or, you know, I don't even know, I don't own a television. Neighbours. I don't know what they're doing, but it's so, you know, this is human nature. When we're confronted with something that's so distressing, it's too much for people psychologically, so they stick their head in the sand and or turn a blind eye to it and hope it all goes away. But, of course, that's not the way it works. And unfortunately, this is probably the worst case scenario of that exact. I mean, I can't think of anything worse than knowing what we know and not being able to alert people to it.
Yes. Yes, it is actually quite painful, and you almost start to doubt yourself. I mean, we've been gaslit that much that's exactly what's going on now, that even though you see it every day, it's in your face. You almost no longer trust what you see with your own eyes.
Yeah, that's all part of the gaslighting that the media, the politicians, all of it is gaslighting. All of it. Just make you second guess yourself and your own, what your experiences are and your truth. You know, everybody seems to have a different version of the truth. It's like when there's a car accident and you see you have 10 people that you know, see it, and they're interviewed by the police, and every one of them has a different version of the truth depending on the angle that they're viewing it from. So, you know, everybody's perception of what's going on is radically different depending on their trauma or depending on their financial status or depending on, you know, I hate to say it, you know, their mentality, their smart, their intellect, their programming. You know, that was one thing I found quite incredible when this all started happening, sort of October, November from memory of 2019. I believe, when this first dropped about this virus in Wuhan. And we were sort of in the thick of it by, what, January, February. And the people that I have in my life that I consider the most intelligent, meaning they're, you know, scientists or doctors or, you know, they're very well esteemed people who I would consider extremely intelligent, they were the very ones that couldn't see what was going on, which I found extraordinary. But what I have come to realise is that they are the most indoctrinated through the system, through the university and schooling system.
Yes. It's like the more that you're invested into playing a straight bat, the longer it takes for you to question, let alone wake up to what's actually going on, and you just play along with it and play along with it and play along with it until you can't anymore. And yet you're looking at these.
And most people that are in that position as well, it comes with a hell of a lot of ego. So for you to admit that pretty much you've been duped your whole life is a huge blow to most people's ego. And so, I guess their reaction to that is to, again, ignore the problem, stick their head in the sand, this isn't happening, because psychologically they can't cope with that. And their ego couldn't cope with that. And that's why I think we're seeing a lot of the doctors now that are, again, not wanting to, it's too confronting for them to actually admit that they've been duped, you know, and so they're just going to continue along with it. You know, the emperor's new clothes. Yeah, everyone's just going to pretend the emperor's not naked.
And this is exactly where we are right now. We're living in an age where if anything goes wrong, we're meant to just turn to the government and say, hey, fix it, which is why I guess Labor got into power here. The climate agenda moved forward, and yet we've still got climate activists getting out there blocking Sydney Harbour Tunnel and Harbour Bridge for God knows what reasons, like we're going to accelerate the process here, get the government to do it, which turns to a news story that that I really wanted to speak to you about today. And it starts with some news that's not necessarily unprecedented, but ANZ, the Australian New Zealand Bank, based in New Zealand, Australian owned, has put a temporary hold on issuing new home loans to people with less than 20% deposits. A spokeswoman for ANZ said the move was to ensure the bank remain within the low equity lending cap set by the Reserve Bank in New Zealand, which limits banks to lending only 10% of new home loans to people with less than 20% equity. Now, that's a bit kind of strange when on the other side of the Tasman in Australia, the new Labor government's come out and is allowing people to purchase homes with as little as 2%, provided that the government puts up 40% and goes partners with them. Now, all of this
is
leading...
Insanity.
which is total insanity, because there's so many strange loopholes that we discussed earlier on this show when we went through some details in a previous show with Sonia Bailey about the requirements. Now, Catherine, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but Dominic Perrottet, the Liberal Premier of New South Wales, had already got all of his rules and regs sorted out for this new Anthony Albanese Labor Party federal low home buyer partnership deal, had already been written, hadn't been passed in Parliament yet. They were in opposite parties, and it was almost as if he knew that he was going to win. And so when we went through these rules, there's a whole lot of rules that aren't there yet. For example, if you pay off your home, what do? If you have to sell your home, if you lose your job, if you want to do some renovations, you want to put in a swimming pool, you want to change the kitchen, I mean, who do you report to? And it turns out now you've got to do all these crazy things like an annual report, annual like valuations and all these types of things. So it's going to become very, very expensive very quickly just for the compliance of it. So on one side, you got the banks not lending to with people unless they've got substantial deposits. And whilst the Reserve Bank may say it's because they can only, you know, limit banks to lending only 10% of new home loans to people with less equity, but realistically what they're expecting, therefore, is that house prices will crash soon as a result of interest rates going up. And that's the real reason that anyone would do that, is to protect. Because if you lend someone a million, say they got $1 million home and you lend them $800,000 for simple terms, if that house value...
And then you take their job away.
And take their job away, and all of a sudden their house is only worth $750,000. Well, the bank's actually upside down themselves $50,000, and that would be the reason why they are wanting that huge amount of deposit. So if you're only lending 95% and you only have to put $50,000 in, if that house value drops below $950,000, the bank's actually going to lose hard currency. So that would be the bigger reason.
And good luck getting another home loan after that.
And that's the other problem, isn't it? This is what people don't understand, that if you're forced to go bankrupt as a home buyer, you've got to sit out 3 to 7 years if you're lucky to get an early discharge, but generally 7 years. But who is going to lend to somebody who has previously been bankrupt? It's almost impossible.
Well, I think that's the plan, but we're already seeing the flip side of that with renters. You know,
yes.
If you put your hand up to say there's issues in the apartment that you're paying through the nose for, you know, you're immediately, you know, a painful tenant, and they won't, you know, you're making it difficult, you're replaceable, and then they don't give you a good reference, so you can't rent anymore, rendering you homeless.
And so... what's going on out there in the rental market as a whole? I can imagine it must be an absolute nightmare. So you're getting stood over when you're in a property. It must be virtually impossible to get one if you're not already in one, right?
Correct. I mean, there's such a strong demand. So we're seeing, you know, 30, 50 people going for the one property, which is overpriced and a dump in the first
yep.
instance. The majority of the time. So, of course, if you have a dual income couple, because of this algorithm, I'm not quite sure if you're familiar with real estate Dot com.au and all of the apps that they use. So what they do is that when you make an application, which you're forced to, because if you can't apply in any other way now for a rental property, it has to be through one of these forms. And they ask you, you know, everything, you know, it's like Rumpelstiltskin, you know, we want to take your firstborn child, you know, bend over. they actually look at your bank account. You have to give them a screenshot of the balance. You have to supply your entire bank statement so they can go through and look at what you're buying. And I mean, it is so invasive. And they circumvented the Privacy Act of 1988 by saying, well, tick this box to fill in the form, otherwise you can't apply. So it's very similar to, you know, what they did with the jab. We need your consent. But if you decide not to get it, then we're just going to make life really, really difficult and you won't be able to go anywhere or do anything or hold a job down. So it's the same sort of psychological kind of loophole there. What they do after you've applied is that you get put into an algorithm with the other 30 people, and if there's a dual income couple and you're a single parent, you're right at the bottom. So who do you think they're going to give the apartment to?
Well, it's got to be the double income, right?
Correct. So this, in every way that you look at it, is discrimination.
Yeah.
Financial discrimination. Everybody has the right to have a roof over their head. This is, you know, basic human rights stuff right here. So, you know, it's all about the landlord ensuring that he... I mean, this is the matrix system that they've set up.
Yep.
It's a shitty system. Because only the wealthy survive in it.
Yes, yes. And it sounds entirely like a private social credit score system has been introduced.
100% it is. That's absolutely what it is, Jason. I'm so glad that you just said that. That's absolutely what it is. But again, they're socially conditioning us into accepting it, because I speak to people about this and they're like, yeah, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you understand the implications of what you're doing? Yeah, but, you know, the real estate agents are you know, like we're talking about, it's, you know, just doing my job. I know that I'm not giving it to a single parent, but I'm just doing my job. And the landlord, it's up to the landlord. It's not up to us. We know that this is a shitty system, but, you know, it's not us, it's the landlord. So, you know, whatever you tell yourself to sleep at night, that's okay. That would be like me staying at my job as a news reporter when I was told to write, not to write about the vaccine injuries and to write an article to encourage women to get the Pfizer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to write about that. I don't care about that my job that much that I'm prepared to endorse this experimental therapy to pregnant women. I can't live with myself. I walk away. But these people are prepared to do it.
They certainly are, and it's just that what people expect to do. It's competitive, it's the way that it is, and it's this slippery slope that people just don't want to acknowledge, like you've just alluded to.
And what they're also not wanting to acknowledge is that they're actually burying themselves. At the end of the day, they're affecting. It will affect them personally. Eventually, it will affect them.
Yep.
Them personally and their neighbours and their community. But for right now, they're willing to... I don't know whether they're not intelligent enough to see the end result or whether they just... again, they're watching Love Island. I don't know where their head is at, but, you know, I've got, where I live, the local real estate agency that is doing this to people actively, all the real estate agents, prepared to go to the local surf club to raise money for the Ukrainians. Now, if that's not some top-level virtue signalling, I don't know what is.
Oh, that's just next level.
You don't care about your neighbour? You don't care about the vulnerable in the community that are financially, you know, disadvantaged? And you're making them homeless, but you're quite prepared to go and raise some money for the Ukrainians. Help me understand this, Jason. I don't understand.
Perhaps they're only raising money so that they can send Sean Penn and Ben Stiller over there to be cast in the next Ukrainian James Bond movie or something.
It makes me want to go full retard. Excuse the... I needed to use the reference.
I mean, there's no other way to see it. It's just beyond a joke. Now, we do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about another issue that's emerged this week, which is the fudging of grocery prices. We've got a farmer and a greengrocer who've come out and said that the price hikes are not actually real. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to TNT Radio.
Misty Winston on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Disgraced British socialite and partner of infamous pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, has been sentenced to just 20 years in prison. Maxwell was also ordered to pay a $750,000 fine for her role in the sex trafficking operation in which she would groom young girls who have described being drawn into a world of rape and sexual abuse. U.S. District Judge Allison Nathan said that she had no choice but to apply the sentencing guidelines that were in place at the time the offense was committed, and pointed out that applying the current guidelines would result in a significantly longer sentence. Nathan also said before announcing the sentence that, quote, Ms. Maxwell directly and repeatedly and over the course of many years participated in a horrific scheme to entice, transport, and traffic underage girls, some as young as 14. Ms. Maxwell is not being punished in place of Epstein, nor as a proxy for Epstein. Ms. Maxwell is being punished for her role, end quote. Epstein allegedly committed suicide at Metropolitan Correctional Center in 2019, though many doubt the official story surrounding his death. None of the people implicated in the child sex trafficking ring run by Epstein and Maxwell have been held accountable. This is Misty Winston for TNT Radio.
Since the day I stopped drinking, my life has gotten better and better. I can't take any credit for it. It just seems that without alcohol, I think better, I'm more careful with money, I watch what I say, I don't get into trouble like I did when I was drinking. It's scary trying to walk through life alone, and today I have that very distinct feeling that I don't ever have to be alone again.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
This is where you get your daily ration of high-velocity conversation. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. I have Catherine Franklin with me, who is both news and PR extraordinaire. And we're going through the news of the day, and we've been around the world, and now we're coming back to Australia and this new scam that seems to appear, which is grocery inflation. There's been two separate gentlemen come out this week and have a go, and have both been published in the mainstream. First article I want to refer to is a fellow called Guy Gaeta, the Horticulture Committee Chair for New South Wales Farmers, has told news.com.au that he was speaking up on behalf of many farmers who felt supermarkets were ripping off consumers. He says, lemons are cheap as chips at the moment. The supermarkets can buy them for $8 a box and sell them for $4.90 a kilo, and they profit $82 per box. Now, that's a far cry from the great inflation that's going up. Now, interestingly, the data from the ABS shows in March the price of groceries was up just 5.3% annually, and fruit and veg prices were up 6.7%, and meat and seafood increased 6.2% over the year. Goodness me, the meat in my butcher, in my Aldi, in my supermarket's up at least 25%, so I don't know where the ABS, how they do their numbers. Now, in a different story, another fellow from Adelaide, a fellow called Johnny Capiris, who runs the St. Bernard's Fruit and Veg with his wife, Leander, in Adelaide, has come out and has let rip on Facebook, and they call him the foul-mouth fruiterer in the Daily Mail. He exposes the real reason vegetable prices are soaring as he issues a blunt message to money-hungry corporations. And he quotes some prices here. He says, in the video, Mr. Capiris shows viewers some of his prices, which are apparently significantly lower than major outlets. He says strawberries, $4.99. You'll see them everywhere for $8, $9, $10 in the supermarkets. Crooks. Crooks, he says. And then he says he's selling mandarins at 99 cents a kilo, apples at $1.99, tomatoes at $4.99, ginger at $12.99. Goodness me, that's cheap. And cucumbers at $6.99, also cheap. I think all of that's double figures wherever you want to go. He did say his lettuces are $7 each, slightly more expensive than some supermarkets, but he says he's paying $5 a head just to buy them. He says when he's talking about his mandarins are cheap because he orders bulk bins, which save suppliers and the cost of boxes. So what he's trying to do is work out new ways to help people do that. And both men are saying, do not shop at the majors. Go out there and find alternates. Catherine, what are you seeing out there in your world? I mean, if you can even get out and afford to pay for fuel, but what's going on with the price of living today?
Well, again, control the food, control the masses. You know, this food shortage, they've been talking about this in the media for quite some time, again, pre-programming us to get ready for it. What can I say? It's exactly what's gone on from day one with COVID. I think that the wealthy, the conglomerates are getting, you know, richer, and the small business people are suffering, which is why I don't shop anywhere near Coles, anywhere near Woolworths. I don't go near them with a 10-foot pole. I go to a local farmer's market when I'm really sort of in need of something very, very quickly. I will go to a local like grocery store that's not a no-name.
Yep.
That's been there for 20 years.
Nice.
And I know the lovely couple that run it, and again, things are a little bit more expensive, but, you know, I've tried not to support, actively tried not to support anybody who was enforcing mask wearing, who's currently enforcing facial recognition, who are playing the game.
Yep. And this is the thing, isn't it?
And I think that's the only way we can fight back is to go grassroots, literally go grassroots.
Yes, if they're going to make it impossible for us to grow our own food, they're certainly trying that down in Victoria, but that's sort of happening a little bit everywhere.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Oh, it's just next level, isn't it? So what we're finding now is
that in the streets, maybe they will be when they're hungry. I don't know. When will they understand? When they're hungry, probably. And then it'll be too late.
And there's the problem. We see the same deal in Sri Lanka where the price of fertilizer has gone up something like 100 times so that the local farmer can no longer afford the fertilizer to grow crops. So they are in the midst of a food famine over there. It's got that bad. And, of course, everyone wants to blame Russia because apparently that's the only place you can get fertilizer out of is Russia. Therefore, the price goes up 100 times.
I have to check in with Ben Stiller and
Sean Penn
on that one.
That's right. Well, that's how it works now because, you know, you've got to follow the stars and they'll be able to tell you what you need to know, given that everyone at CNN's been fired. I guess they're up to the Hollywood actors now to get that message out.
Well, Zelensky's an actor, so, you know, we'll just have to watch and see what they do. But look, this has all been orchestrated. I think anybody that's awake knew this was coming. I mean, there's been people prepping with food for this for decades.
Yes, that's right. And many people who are in the know are just sitting back and looking at what's going on. I mean, on the other side of it, you've got people going out there. Obviously, the first stage was to put your solar panels in. The second stage was to get batteries sorted so at least you could have a little bit of energy independence. We've learnt today that AGL's come out and told everyone that the price of electricity is going up something in the vicinity of 15%. The price of gas is going up somewhere in the vicinity of 8%. And so people are looking for any possible way that they can economise. And we haven't even hit the tough bit yet where people start losing their jobs. And that's coming as interest rates rise and businesses go to the wall, which is absolutely frightening, of course.
Yeah, the rubber hasn't even hit the road yet.
No.
And isn't it incredible that most people don't know about this CERN that's cranking up on July the 5th that is utilising more electricity on the planet than any other source ever in the history
yes.
of mankind? If we want to know where our energy is going, it's all going into the CERN. So
yes.
how have we got an energy crisis and yet this experiment, again, another experiment that is completely unnecessary?
Well, that's right. They've already found the supposed God particle, the Higgs boson. So what are they going to do now except blow a hole into another dimension perhaps to prove that they've still got all the power, literally? You know how bad it's got? In my hometown of Maitland, this Sunday, my local church cannot hold church inside because there's no electricity at one end of Main Street in Maitland. All businesses have been told to close. They are simply not powering that area on a Sunday in order, you ready for this, to save power. Can you believe that?
See, that's all psychological programming there. You know, this is what we're going to have to be dealing with. You know, this is slowly, you know, drip, drip, the frog in the boiling pot. This is just gently, gently leading people into accepting that we don't have enough electricity, to accepting that we are paying, you know, $9 for a punnet of blueberries.
Yep.
Or strawberries. I mean, it's unbelievable. And again, I just can't comprehend how everybody's okay with it and ignoring it. We should be beating down the doors of our politicians and our local members. And yet everybody wants to continue on like nothing's going on here. The emperor's wearing clothes.
That's it. That's it. Where are the climate activists? Aren't they the ones that are the greenies that are eating the vegetarian diet? Aren't they complaining yet about $10 lettuces and I think that they're $12.99 for blueberries?
They've moved on to bugs, crickets and...
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, crickets are appropriate because that's all you can hear in the background as you get to it, as we go through it.
I see what you did there, Jason. That was good. That was good.
It was nice, isn't it? Look, yeah. we are living in another stage. We've absolutely run out of time, unfortunately, in our chat tonight. Catherine, it's been a delight to have you join me to talk about the news of the day, the week and beyond. I would love to have you back on very, very soon. So much to talk about. What we're going to do now is we're going to throw to the news, but before that, just let everyone know, stay listening because Rick Munn will be up next. You're listening to TNT Radio.